time to do a little legislative recap with State Senator Brent Hawkins in with us. And Senator Hawkins, we had a lot of ground to cover, so let's get right to it. And thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you so much, Dave, for having me. It's great to be back in town and with all the sunshine and warm weather. It's after all those months of rain in Olympia, it's great to be here.
Here you go. Well, we'll let the web between your toes dry out.
That's right.
Turn into a duck over there on the other side. And we'll get to, you know, like our regional sports complex. We'll get to Confluence Parkway funding, because we had a lot of discussion of that over. We got some more questions about that anyway. But let's not give short shrift to, for instance, capital budget improvements around here. And again, give us some of the highlights and some of the things that you're happy for here in the 12th district.
Yeah, there's a lot of things to be excited about, especially with capital budget. It was that and the transportation budget are the two that were very bipartisan this year. And we're grateful that we have Representative Mike Steele, who plays a major role in the capital budget development, and the fact that it's bipartisan. So Representative Gaynor and I kind of work with him. But, you know, the 12th district includes different geographical boundaries now. So some of the things that I sponsored, for example, a park in Sultan and a municipal court facility in the city of Monroe were important to me, as well as some of the other priorities in our area. I think probably the most significant item individually in the capital budget was something Representative Steele and Gaynor worked very closely on, which is a new drug and alcohol treatment facility in Chelan County. I think it's going to be incredibly beneficial, and frankly, I think it's probably could be one of the most significant things in their legislative career that they've got across the finish line. I think it'll be a tremendous benefit to our area here.
Well, we'll talk about the drug possession bill that's in limbo, but just on a side note, I know that the folks at the Center for Drug and Alcohol Treatment here said that after the Blake decision, their caseloads had like gone way, way down. So I know that we'll talk about that coming up here. Again, State Senator Brad Hawkins with us here in the 12th District. So let's talk about the regional sports complex. Maybe start there first. So what we got, for folks that think, okay, well, it got passed, the governor signed it, so here we go, we're going to have a sports complex. So that's not where we're at. Real quick, and so tell us, you know, what are some of the next stages here?
Yeah, so the bill that was approved, Senate Bill 5001, which I sponsored, allows our local governments to join forces cooperatively to form a second public facilities district, and ultimately to seek voter approval if the study committee that the Chelan-Douglas Regional Port Authority, and led by Mayor Jerilee Crawford, ultimately decides to kind of design a project with the consultants that they've hired. The community is, a lot of local governments have chipped in about $300,000 to fully study and design kind of a process for a sports complex. I'm hoping, for example, it includes an indoor 50-meter pool, perhaps an indoor soccer facility, and then a huge parking lot in between, and then some outdoor facilities as well. But there is a community process to allow that. But without clarity in law related to a governance structure in a financing mechanism, we really couldn't get anywhere. And that's where this 5001 bill comes in. And I'm really excited to get that across the finish line. And ultimately, if the local leaders and local voters decide to invest in a regional sports complex, I think it could be great for people here recreationally and quality of life, but also I think it could recruit a lot of families to stay in the area and stay overnight and shop in our restaurants. And it could lead to some real significant economic development opportunities in the Wenatchee Landing area, because that area can support much more than just a regional sports complex. There's a lot of other private land available for development.
And it will be a local decision as to, what kind of tax mechanism or tax rate would be assessed if a voters approved it. That wasn't established in the bill, correct?
Well, the tax mechanism, yes. That would ultimately need to be voter approved, but it is a sales tax base. And that's one of the reasons I like the public facility district law, is the law allows for shared governance of a facility, but it also is not a property tax-based source of revenue where all of the citizens here as property owners have to bear the full cost of the facility. If you have a modest sales tax, and the law that we approved allows up to 0.2 cents sales tax, so it doesn't have to be a 0.2, it could be a 0.1, could be a 1.5, but a lot of variations, and those are some of the things that consultants and local study group are considering. But it would be a sales tax measure, so people who come and visit our area, and we are a tourist-based economy, they can essentially help us fund our facilities. So that's something that really excited me. There's a lot of local control embedded in the public facility district law. The local governments would have to first decide to create a second public facility district, and then they don't have any revenue. They have to ask voters to approve whatever it is that the local public facility district created by the local governments would have to decide. So there's lots of kind of checks and balances in that process, but without authority under law, we really couldn't do anything, and we wouldn't have a funding mechanism or structure to utilize.
Well, there's a study underway. That study may take up to maybe not quite a year yet. I think at the beginning of the legislature, we heard it could take about a year. So maybe just under a year before that study is complete. So long ways to go on that project. We're talking to State Senator Brad Hawkins, and a little bit of a legislative recap. Confluence Parkway funding, and again, it took towards to the end of the legislature before we saw everything was included. And I've heard, for instance, Mayor Frank Kuntz talk about in the years that it needed to be included and funded, and talk about why that is so important, I guess, from your perspective as well. You gotta have the money at the right time with these big projects. Otherwise, could it go away?
Well, if we didn't secure the dollars in the right amount of time at the state level, certainly the federal funds that were already allocated to our area through that infra grant could potentially go away. And that's one of the things I was so excited about with this Confluence Parkway project, is it really is sort of emblematic of what we can do together when we work together at all levels of government, local, state, and federal. I work closely with Congresswoman Schreier to on this funding. Of course, the city of Wenatchee has been leading the way on this project for almost a decade. What was interesting about the Confluence Parkway project is we were successful in getting it included in last year's Move Ahead Washington transportation package, but that 16-year Move Ahead Washington investment package did not, for any of the projects, include what we call an aged and phased project list. So it had a list of projects that would be funded and the duration of time, 16 years, and it all balanced out. But the big task for Transportation Committee members this legislative session, and I serve on the Transportation Committee, was to get all of those projects itemized based on the next 8 or so 2-year budget cycles. And so fortunately, we started the process last legislative session without Confluence Parkway even included. The House and Senate Democrats had sort of predetermined this transportation package, and it mostly included projects in their districts and in Western Washington, major projects. But we got $85 million as a placeholder included for Confluence Parkway. But the big task this legislative session was to get it scheduled when we needed to get it scheduled to maximize the federal dollars that we were already granted, and to allow the city of Wenatchee to essentially bid the project under one contract for efficiency, rather than getting some of the money here and piecemeal there and another installment later. We essentially got all $85 million of Confluence Parkway funded over the next 6 years. And the first amount of funding is included beginning this July 1. And so we have a major installment in the 2023 to 2025 budget, Most of the funding for Confluence Parkway will be allocated during the 2025 to 2027 project. And then I believe it's a remaining $10 million in 2027 to 2029 to fully complete the project. And that's not uncommon. This is a type of project that could take, you know, 5 to 6 years to get fully constructed. And so you need to have the dollars sort of scheduled out in accordance with the schedule for construction. And we were successful in doing that. And I just want to say, Dave, like, I am so proud to help solidify this funding for Confluence Parkway. It's been one of my top transportation priority for several years, but it's been the city of Wenatchee's top priority in our regions for almost a decade. And Mayor Frank Kuntz, who's in his final year of service, I mean, he has just done an outstanding job being so steadfast and dogged with this project. And it's just been great to work with him and Link Transit and the Transportation Council and Congresswoman Schreier and my colleagues in the House to just, you know, get this across the finish line. So I couldn't be happier for the city of Wenatchee. But now they got all the funding, and it's been 10 years. Now the construction needs to take place, and that's going to be quite an effort.
Yeah. Now is when the construction and all the impacts on traffic, but it's going to be a lot to deal with with the traffic revisions and all of that, but we have to get through it.
Yeah, and you know, what I want to say too is that we have to realize we have to try to be thoughtful and strategic and stay ahead of our transportation challenges in the valley, because most people may not realize it, but when you look down on Wenatchee from a bird's eye view, you have the Columbia River on one side, you have the Wenatchee River as a tributary to the Columbia on another side, and you essentially have mountains on the two other sides. So we're a mature community in Wenatchee, but we're essentially on an island geographically that constrains us. So we have to continually be ahead of that, especially as desirable as this region is to live in and work.
Let's talk about two things on basically the crime front. First off, police pursuits package. Law enforcement has said, well, this is a step in the right direction. Still not quite where we'd like to see it to be. I know there was a lot of debate about this. Some of the lawmakers that I've kind of lost track where everyone here in the 12th and the 7th district, because with the redistricting, we were getting a chance to hear from our 7th district lawmakers a lot as well. You know, I know that there is that saying that, what is that? Perfect is the enemy of
good. Perfect's the enemy of good.
Yeah, and so yeah. I know that all of you had some kind of different perspectives on this, but I want to get your assessment on where we ended up with the police pursuits bill that again allows more police pursuits, but I know it's not everything law enforcement wanted. What are your thoughts?
Well, the short thoughts are something's better than nothing, or anything enacted in law is better than what we had before. And but what we originally had in 2019, prior to the state's so-called police reforms that were implemented, and I voted against those, we had, you know, law enforcement officials long enjoyed a reasonable suspicion standard to engage in police pursuits, and that legislation from 2009 increased that threshold to a probable cause standard, and that created a lot of issues for communities all across our state, including ours. And we, those of us who voted against it at the time it was being debated, we cautioned, you know, we said this is going to be a problem. But that police pursuits bill wasn't the only police reform that was approved at that time. There were other complicated ones, and that was the same year of the capital gains tax, and we were working remotely, and so there's just a whole host of issues that kind of got pushed through and created problems. But we did get that bill approved. I believe that was Senate Bill 5352. It returned the standard back to reasonable suspicion, but only for certain things like sex offenders, violent crime. You know, it didn't allow for police to engage in pursuits, for example, for vehicular theft, but it did sort of get us a lot of the way back. And the way I kind of look at it is, yeah, it's definitely better than what we had. I kind of think about when you go to the optometrist and you're getting fitted for eyeglasses. The current law is sort of your current glasses, and then they kind of show you better or worse, And so I have to look at it as this bill that's before me. I'm not in the majority. I'm in the minority. I have an opportunity to influence. But the bill before me is it better or worse than what we have? And, you know, sometimes when you're at the optometrist, you can't quite tell. But sometimes they're like, is this better or worse? And you're like, well, that's better. Or, oh, that's a lot worse. But this was clearly better when this bill was put before us. And so I was proud to support it. I would have supported something more stronger. I would have supported even a return to what was in place prior to these 2019 police reforms. But those aren't the questions, you know, that are before you when you're voting. Of course, we tried to argue some of those things. We tried to offer some amendments to expand it. But we did get something better, and I'm thankful for that.
We're talking to State Senator Brad Hawkins, running through some of the, I guess, the big issues that we heard about a lot in Olympia. Drug possession bill, though, looks like a special session to try and deal with this. We're in limbo on this right now because we've got this looming date of July 1st coming up. So why didn't we get something passed on this, do you think?
Well, that's kind of the big question. You know, we worked very hard in the Senate to develop a bipartisan compromise on drug possession. Unlike this law, it wasn't caused by these police reforms back in 2019. The state Supreme Court back in 2001, if KPQ listeners will recall, struck down Washington State's felony drug possession law because a woman had drugs in her pant pocket and she was arrested for the possession, but she said she was borrowing the pants from her friend and she did not knowingly possess the drugs. And so that case got elevated all the way to the state Supreme Court and ultimately struck down our law during the middle of the legislative session. And so the state was sort of scrambling a bit to put in place something for drug possession at that time. Otherwise, cities and counties would have essentially been left to develop their own patchwork of drug possession regulations. And we saw that as really problematic. So the state did put in place something and classified most drug possession as a simple misdemeanor. And that essentially is in place until July 1 of this year, 2023. So essentially what we approved in 2021 was sort of what they call a stopgap measure to kind of, but we knew coming back to session that our big plan was to develop and approve the three budgets, pass some adjustment on police pursuits, and then also try to address this 2021 Blake decision on drug possession. We worked really hard to develop a bipartisan plan in the Senate. It came through two committees. We debated it on the floor pretty intensely. Some Republicans voted against it, and some Democrats voted against it. And then you had some Republicans voting for it, and some Democrats voting for it as well. So in the end, that bill that was a bipartisan compromise on drug possession passed the Senate 28-21. Some of the Democrats that were really progressive thought it was too harsh. Some of the more conservative Republicans said this isn't stiff enough penalties. And so ultimately, I felt like we needed something, and I supported the compromise. I think it strikes the right balance between having this helping hand of compassion for people who have personal drug use issues, but it also has some progressive penalties and helps people have opportunities to have some of their efforts diverted and be able to get into treatment. But if they don't, then they'd have the penalties and it would ramp up. So I felt like it was a really good compromise. And it went over to the House, and I believe, while I don't like to blame politics, get into the blame game and everything, but in this case, there were, I think, some very progressive House Democrats that wouldn't support the Senate's bipartisan compromise, and it unraveled, and in the end, we were left on the final day of session with essentially nothing, and as a result, the governor is calling us back, perhaps on May 16th, to try to actually focus on that exclusively and try to get something across the finish line. Otherwise, cities and counties are going to be left, you know, in a almost disaster situation, and people aren't going to get the help that they need. And so we got some important work still left to do.
Well, I came across an interesting statistic. Now, this was in King County, and you could extrapolate maybe it's worse there than in other parts of the state, or maybe not. But 2.5 more. These are statistics from I think 2022. That 2.5 more times people are dying from drug overdoses than motor vehicle and gun violence deaths combined. So this is the real problem, and we all are aware of some of the legislation that was passed on gun control measures, and certainly part of the genesis of the police pursuit stuff was to try and cut down on people dying in police pursuit crashes and things like that, but this has got to get solved, and people are dying as a result of this. And there's not enough of a stick, but got to find that right balance between the carrot and the stick.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right, Dave. People are really suffering from this. It's a major, major issue statewide. People are unfortunately endangering themselves and others. It tears apart families. There's a lot of aspects of drug possession, whether it's prescribed drugs, harder drugs like heroin, fentanyl, and cocaine. But we definitely need to achieve something on this for the people of the state of Washington. And I actually agree with Governor Inslee calling a special session to get us back. I wish we would have completed this important work during the 105 days. I thought we had plenty of time to do it. The Senate actually approved its bill on March 3rd, which was several weeks before the end of session on April 23rd. And I hope finally that House Democrats kind of got their act together on this and were able to get something to the governor.
Now, will this all be negotiated just by the four leaders and then bring you all back for a vote, or will we all be going back to hearings and committee meetings, or how does the special session work?
Not likely committee meetings, because the bill is in its form, gets returned back to the Senate, and I believe the Senate will be taking the first vote on the Senate floor related to this. I know that many of the members of the House, as well as the Senate developers of this bill, have been in close communication since the session actually adjourned on April 23rd. My understanding is they're getting pretty close. What I'm interested in seeing is how closely does any potential House-Senate compromise bill resemble what the Senate Republicans and Democrats developed together, because the law enforcement community supported that, and it remains to be seen whether they as a law enforcement community and me as our state senator can develop whatever compromise could meet the threshold to pass both chambers of the legislature.
All right. So during the session, your offices are over in Olympia, but of course when we're out of session, what's the easiest way to get in touch with Senator Hawkins' office?
Best way is through my website, senatorbradhawkins.org. I was contacted through my website a couple weeks ago to speak at the Kiwanis Club, which I just did at Pybus Market before coming here to KPQ. So we're very active in the interim, and if people have any questions or concerns or feedback for me or invitations, senatorbradhawkins.org is a great way to do that. And I just want all the listeners to know that I work for you, so please don't hesitate to reach out to me in my office.
All right. Are you going to plan a listening tour again this fall?
Yep, it's going to be this fall, early September, and we'll be both sides of the Cascades for this one, given the new district.
Yeah, that's for sure. All right, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, Dave. Great to be in studio.
State Senator Brad Hawkins with us.